We honor the people and their achievements in celebration of the African American experience.
Welcome to Angry Black Rant.
The story of this country, the story of generations of people who felt the lash of bondage, the shame of servitude, the sting of segregation, but who kept on striving and hoping and doing what needed to be done so that today I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves.
Welcome to Angry Black Rant, a podcast dedicated to covering religion, social justice, current events, and anything worth covering, which will be seen through the eyes of an angry black atheist. I am your host, the HNIC, company man by day, angry black ranter by night, Ishmael motherfucking Brizzle. And I am accompanied with...
This is the PRIC, Puerto Rican in charge here. Now, earlier in the month, I had this genius idea. Hey, let's reach out to the good old ABR and let's start gathering some content for a Black History Month podcast. And it was surprising to me, the lack of enthusiasm. How many people were not interested in the slightest? And here we are. It's Black History Month. And what is it? Why the lack of enthusiasm? Why people not clamoring to participate? Because I'm not one to shirk my responsibility, I told good old Flo and John that I'd put something out there, and so I'm doing it. So tonight, I'm recording the show by myself, with the perspective of some of the folks from the ABR. There wasn't much in the way of input, but there was some. We'll share the thoughts tonight, and a little bit about what I learned about all of this, and we'll go from there. So, Black History Month, the annual observance dedicated to promoting achievements by Black Americans and others of African descent, right? That's what the whole deal is billed as. It originated in the United States. It's received recognition by other governments. I mean, there's not like there's a zillion of them, but we do have Canada, Ireland, the Netherlands, and the UK have some sort of recognition of Black history. You know, it started back in 1915. That year, good old Carter G. Woodson and Jesse E. Moreland, I love middle initial names. I wish we did that more today. They founded the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, the acronym ASLNA. Very, very catchy, very fluid on the tongue. So they founded ASLNA, and the organization was dedicated to promoting achievements by Black Americans. And in 1926, ASLNA decided to sponsor a National Negro History Week. And I'm going to apologize. As I go through this, I might use words that are outdated, but I'm only mentioning them in the historical sense, and I'm mentioning them in the context of the phrasing of the articles and studying that I did that were written in that time. And these are the words that people of that time used to describe some of the goals that they had. It's probably not going to get much worse than Negro, but just understand, these aren't my words. I'm reading stuff from a historical perspective. So they settled on the second week of February, because the second week of February had two important birthdays in it. Right? You had your Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. So obviously with Abraham Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation, obviously that's a historical thing, very, very big. So he was celebrated and they thought that that would be a good time to do it. And it originally was not a month. It started off as a week. So this week inspired schools and communities nationwide to organize. They organized local celebrations. They established history clubs and they had performances and lectures. And it was a way to start to introduce the contributions of Black Americans to an audience that had never heard these stories before. And by 1929, Negro History Week was it was met with some enthusiasm. There was a groundswell of support for this, and Black History Clubs were created, and various events gained interest. Teachers and progressive white Americans came on board. I guess you can probably flash forward a little bit into the 1970s. You can count me among them. I was in a Black History Club at my school back in the good old 1970s. But in the time that followed, in the 1940s and 50s, you know, mayors of cities across the country began to issue yearly proclamations recognizing Negro History Week. That spread and became more popular. And now by the late 1960s, thanks in part to the civil rights movement and the growing awareness of Black identity, Negro History Week had evolved into Black History Month on many college campuses. So it's at the college level that it appears to have grown into the month time frame, and where I guess the origins of celebrating a whole month versus a week were established. And then finally, in 1976, good old Gerald Ford, that's right, a Republican, ladies and gentlemen. He's probably the guy at the time that they passed the bill, so what he's going to do is say no. But we got to recognize and put it where it is. In 1976, President Ford officially recognized Black History Month, right? And, you know, the quote from him is, it's a time to seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. That's Gerald Ford in 1976 as he's proclaiming the day, the month, rather. And since then, every American president has designated February as Black History Month and endorsed a specific theme. And the themes have varied over time. I know when I was a kid one year, it was African-American superheroes. It was actually pretty cool. They made comic books based on Martin Luther King. So he wasn't wearing a cape and a cowl and zooming through the sky in superhero form. But it was, I guess, to appeal to children. Instead of a dry old static book with a bunch of statistics and black and white pictures, they portrayed the life of a lot of historical black figures like Rosa Parks and, you know, the good old ones that everybody knows about. They put them in comic book form. So I had a superhero comic book of Martin Luther King for many years. I liked it a lot. And I got lost to time, but I enjoyed it as a kid, and I thought it was pretty neat. And now let's flash forward into the 90s. This is interesting that I did not know until I started looking into the stuff. In 1995, Toronto era MP Jean Augustine introduced a motion, which was passed unanimously by the House of Commons, to recognize Black History Month across Canada. So Canada has a Black History Month. I thought that was interesting. And in seeing Harriet and talking to John, and we did a review of the movie Harriet, one of the things that I learned in watching that was that going to Canada was big. You had to get through the United States into Canada, where they had areas where you could go and you were not hopefully going to be sent back. So Canada has a Black History Month. And the themes over the years, they're all over the place. The kind of things you would probably expect, you know, civil rights in America. Sometimes they'll focus on the crisis of black education, the contributions of African Americans in time of war. Those are the typical types of things over the years that they have celebrated. So when I turned to the group and I said, okay, so what are your feelings about Black History Month? Like I said, there wasn't much. Good old J.A. Bright chimed in. He posted, I think, the topic of Black History Month. It just feels like it's for white people now. Black people don't need to wait and shouldn't be waiting for February anymore with social media. And given what's happened to black people over the past year, with white people's outright violence or condescending platitudes, it just feels hollow, at least this year. Or maybe it's just me being J.A., close quote. And so I get it. You shouldn't have to wait. That's one of the things in thinking about this. You got your arguments here, you know. What are the arguments for Black history? I guess one of the arguments could be young children coming through the educational pipeline, right? Us as adults, we have the luxury of going to the internet, doing our research, finding documentaries, seeing motion pictures, and seeking this stuff out. But kids, unless their parents are so inclined, aren't going to be exposed to this stuff. So it's a good way to get the children initial understanding and recognizing people of color. I know it was actually pretty cool. Last week, my granddaughter was in virtual school, and I can hear her in the other room, and she is saying Martin Luther King Jr. to some question that I couldn't hear from her teacher. So at 5 years old, she is being exposed, and she can come and she can probably tell you a thing or two about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which I guess is good. While we are a progressive family, we don't go around discussing Black history per se. This coming Friday, we're going to have African meals as a celebration, because that's the day that they're celebrating Black History Month in her class. So kids are learning, and we can't always assume that every kid is going to be exposed to this stuff. So kids coming through the pipeline might be a reason why you would still want to have it. And like, then there's Black History Month because, you know, you can only hear the same stories, but so many times they are now much richer and deeper. It's beyond just the general story of Rosa Parks one day went and sat on a bus because she was tired. That's what I learned when I was a kid. But now we know that it was actually a purposeful campaign. She was encouraged to go do this, and she did it, and it generated her arrest, which generated the court case, which she, well, you know, we learn a more deeper, richer understanding of what we know to the, I guess you can call them superficial stories, right? And there's a lot of new coming out of some of the old stories. And there's even new things that, because people are digging and now people are sharing, Black Wall Street. Didn't learn that in school. I learned it as an adult. The historic bad treatment of African Americans. I mean, they cover Jim Crow, and they'll, I'm sure in the history books, there's some module that basically describes some of the things that were done. But producers are putting this into visual form. They're putting it into movies and shows and documentaries. And creatives are out there, artists are out there exposing and sharing their stories year round. But at least you know you have one time of the year where it's going to be a focal point.
Hello, this is Cook Too. We're striving to help others with their diet and weight loss goals by promoting a healthy, low-carb, keto-friendly diet lifestyle. The keto diet is a low-carb, zero-sugar, healthy fats. I've been on a keto diet since September of 2019 and have been able to lose over 130 pounds. 100 of those pounds were able to be lost within the first 7 months. Please feel free to follow us on all social media sites. On YouTube, we have over 200 recipes and videos online that you can use to help make your meals with step-by-step instructions. We also have seasonings available that you can purchase. We have 10 different seasonings that are all keto-friendly, zero sugar, zero carb, and healthy for you. No fillers, anything. We have merchandise available as well. These are all available on our Linktree page with all of our sites at the Town 2. Again, please follow us at Cooking with the Town 2. That's spelled T-H-A-T-O-W-N, the number 2. Thank you.
It shares the and reveals the contributions of people we didn't know about, like the Hidden Figures movie, the women that helped with the programming of the computers at NASA, right? These are stories that have recently come about. And as more and more people of color are contributing, they're being celebrated more. And so that Black history is always expanding. And, you know, when you have it every month, it's kind of a reboot and a reset to honor and recognize those people. And it also gets into this idea that Black history is more complex. Just gave the little story of Rosa Parks. There's more there than we were taught superficially. Many of these stories are rich and complex. And there were many, many, many strong people that fought through a lot. And to learn those stories and to learn the stories of more people is not just a famous five or six folks that are usually the main folks we learn about. You know, we learn about George Washington Carver and the peanut butter and all this stuff. There's a lot more history and a lot more complex history. You know, it does, I guess, help to have a time where we at least we know we're focused on, right? So those are, I guess you could say, some of the arguments for it. Now, of course, there are people that think that it's something that should not be happening. Oh, maybe it should be abolished or discontinued. And these are, and mind you, I'm not going on here echoing the sentiments of racist idiots who just want it gone because they don't want to deal with it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about articles and stories that are read from Black people, people of color, their positions on it. No community or group is a monolith. You're going to have varying opinions. And one of the things that was interesting, because I was talking to my wife about this, and I was, she taught history. She pointed out something to me that was interesting, at least I thought. While our schools are integrated, history is segregated. And if you have something like Black History Month, what you essentially are teaching is this European history, which is air quotes code for white history, right? There's all the white history, which you're going to learn all the time, but we're going to take special times off to learn this other history, Black history, Native American history, Caribbean folks' history, right? So it's the idea that white is the default. That's the history. And all this other stuff is ancillary. It's supportive. It's an addition to, it's not real history because it's over here on the side. So if you eliminated something like Black history and integrated all history into history without any distinctions, you know, in the same paragraph, you could talk about the achievements of people like Famous Amos, entrepreneurs who started businesses, were financial successes, and you mix them in there, which granted, he's probably never got as rich as Elon Musk. But the point is, when you're talking about people who had successes in business and in industry, you just lump them all together. Why wait till February to then bring these folks up? It sets a pattern in the minds of the kids you're teaching that it's extra. It's something else. It's a small chapter in the bigger chapter of history. So if you eliminate it and you blend it all together, if you put it all together, it becomes taught as more of a norm, right? So if we integrate it, it becomes part of the norm, part of just simply history. And there are people that are advocates for that. So let's start lumping this together. There's enough there that it doesn't need to be a separate chapter. And I kind of am leaning there, but this is not my history to parse out. And then we get to the general idea that this is a product of its time. When it was first devised, there was no chronicling of this. There was no teaching of it. So we have to start somewhere. And when you start somewhere, you got to carve it out. You got to get that ball rolling. And while that might have been, there might have been a time and a place for something like Black History Month, with today's ongoing ability to learn around the clock and pick up things and have conversations and discussions all the time, maybe it's time to set aside the concept of a given month because there was a time for it and that time is past. Some people think that way. And then there's the idea of when you do cover Black history, what do you cover? And what is Black history? Is it the chronicles of suffering and you want to focus on slavery, Jim Crow, redlining, the civil rights movement and the police brutality they're in the 60s? Is that Black history? Is it all pain and suffering and challenge? Or is it the celebration of contributions, the inventors, the politicians, the athletes and artists, poets, the musicians, the people that were able to have their message heard by the masses and shared ideas, shared the culture, the books that were written? And is that Black history? And if you celebrate it too much and don't focus on some of the negative things, are you whitewashing it? Are you discounting the perseverance of those people? So there's a balance there that I guess has to be met. And you have to put together lessons and communications that I guess touch on the challenges and honor the contributions. And maybe there is where what Black history can become. It can become the story of the long arc of history bending towards the good. I am here trying to echo some of the sentiments that I have heard about it. I have a friend that I asked, and I said, what do you think about Black History Month? And he said, oh, it's Black History Month? And so I said, okay, I guess that tells me all I need to know. So maybe it's the distance from school, and us, the older curmudgeons, discounted it because since we're not in the school system and we're embroiled in dealing with the consequences of the harsh times, we are a little more jaded towards it. I guess, you know, maybe it's both. Right. It's the celebration of the people who broke through against the odds and the recognition that these exceptions could have been more the rule had more people been given opportunity. And that is at least the thing that is today that technology is allowing. It's simply more opportunity. There was a time when a record studio would tell a young rap artist, no, we're not going to record that. That it will never see the light of day because we control the industry. And you have people break out. You have NWA come out and put it right on there and put their feelings out there. And yes, there was someone who helped them produce this music at the beginning. But since then, Black entrepreneurship in the music industry has come to the point where there are now no filters. If you want to communicate your thoughts, your ideas, you can do so. It could even be someone like Ishmael Brown, who was angry, picked up a microphone and started ranting into it and got a couple of friends to join him in their sentiments. No one was able to tell him to shut up. No one was able to tell him to stop saying that. And he started this group, this little group that we know, and the little family that we have, and this idea of sharing. And it is through his generosity to me to allow me to come on the show at the beginning and talk about it. And he was very open-minded and allowed me to come on and talk shit with him. And maybe that's where we'll leave it. Maybe Black history now is all of the individuals who speak up, all the individuals who grab a microphone and will not be silenced. Pick up a camera and aim it at the ugly and show it for what it is. And if enough people speak up and enough people speak out, that maybe that arc will turn. I keep saying arc and it's arch, damn it. I can't even get Dr. Martin Luther King's quote straight. That arch will bend quicker towards justice. And I really hope that that's the case. I'm an older guy and I don't, and it's probably the things that we're hoping for probably won't happen in my lifetime, but I'd like to see the indications that they might. And I'd like to think that 20, 30, 40 years from now, things will legitimately, honestly be better. Call me an optimist. That's just the way I think and how I feel. I desperately want things to be better so bad. And with that, we'll wrap it up. What's an angry background without a fuckboy? A fuckboy, if this angry background is all those politicians in Texas who thought they were smarter than the program and set their state up for total failure in a time of crisis. To those people that said government stinks, Republicans, and then what actually went and stunk as politicians and as a government and proved themselves right. Hopefully, Texas, you wake up, smell the coffee, and we can get over, and because you deserve better. And to everyone that suffered, whether you agree with me or not, whether you're right wing, left wing, no one deserves to suffer what you suffered through there. And it's warmed up. Things are better now. And hopefully you guys wise up and set something else better for the next time. So, yeah, fuck you, Texas government. All you ranters out there, you better contribute next month because I know nobody wants to hear me be by myself next month. I don't want to hear me be by myself next month. But until then, keep on ranting.
Okay, so that is the end of the show. God, I love Jose Perez. He's a really good dude and someone that I can kick his ass whenever I want.
Well, an atheist is someone who doesn't quite believe that there is somebody out there, some God out there.
Well, then to me, you're an idiot.